Okay, but here, okay, so guys, so they're up here talking about, is this class for sibling rivalry or harmony? And I think really, here's the deal. I mean, I love that you said that because we've got to really be thinking harmony always. Sibling rivalry and conflict is the exception. Sibling harmony is the rule. And so we're going to talk about that. And really, it is a mindset of what, you know, and I guess, well, let me see what time it is and we'll get started. If somebody else comes in. So, okay, I know we're prayed up. I'm so glad y'all are here. This is something that I'm super passionate about because I didn't really have, and I'm not going to turn this on right now until because I want us to record it. But I want y'all to understand where I came from. I am not really close to my sister. I have a brother that's 8 years younger. And really, most of my exercises with how to have children was on my brother. I was so excited about him, and I wanted to take him everywhere. And my mom would say, we're not going to take your brother. I'm like, oh, please. I wanted to push him and, you know, love on him. And so he was my, like, test case, you know, for when I had kids. But my sister and I are not that close, and it makes me so sad. And I look back at how my mom raised us, and she always not pitted us against each other, but my mom was the only girl of 8 kids. She had 7 brothers, and she was the oldest. And so my mom would always say, you go to your room, you go to your room. And she didn't encourage us to get along and work things through. So I just didn't want to mention that because if my sister were to ever stumble onto this, because we were just together this week. And it's funny because my sister went to go get some contacts for my mom at the eye doctor a couple years ago when she was battling her cancer stuff. And so the eye doctor, evidently my sister got very, that's her nature, she got very short and curt with the ladies that work in the office. And so when I went to go pick up something for my mom, they were very rude to me. And I was like, wow. I go, are you having a good day? I mean, I like flipped it around. Well, come to find out, my sister and I look exactly alike. And we have the same voice. And so they were responding. So it's a big joke in our family now that they're like, oh, are you the mean one or are you the nice one? So, you know, but it's, and my sister's, she didn't even really get it. But anyways, it's just funny how, you know, that's kind of the way it goes. So we are going to be talking about, and I'm really excited about this. So let me see if I can get this on. I'm not, oh, shoot. I think I've had it on the whole time. Oh, I'm going to stop it and then turn it back on. See, that's why you should not ever let me do. Oh, I'm just going to go with it. Maybe they'll cut that out. So anyways, so welcome to Sibling Harmony. That's going to come back to haunt me. Welcome to Sibling Harmony. I want y'all to really think about harmony and what harmony is. Harmony is a pleasing arrangement of something. When you think about a harmony, you think about music and a song. And so we're really going to be, it's an internal calm. It's when you're in agreement with something and it's making beautiful music together. That's all what harmony is. And so I kind of did it. I thought about this as www.siblingharmony. Because I want you to think of wisdom, words, and ways. And I spelled ways, W-A-Z-E, because we've got to know the direction in which we're going, okay? So wisdom, guys, wisdom is something as a mom. I love the verse in Proverbs 14:1 that says, the wise woman builds her house. And I want y'all just to hold your hand. You know, you think about he's got the whole world in his hands. Think about you as a mom. You have your house in your hands. You are the cultivator and you have the most influence of what goes on. Because if you're blessed to stay at home with your kids, or even if you're outside the home, the mom does a lot of the investing and all that inside what takes place in the home. So when you think about the wise woman builds, and then the Lord said, and the foolish one tears it down with their own hands. And when I think of a house, I think of four walls. But what we're creating is a home. A home is a place. A house is a building. And so we want to be the home that all our kids want to come to. I don't care about other kids. I want my kids to want to be there, you know, because that's like the big saying. I want to be the house all the kids want to come to. I want to be the house my kids want to come to. So we've got to really think about what we're cultivating in our homes. We are building and creating a home, okay? So I read, so I'm going to talk about wisdom and the wise woman builds. And so let me tell y'all, I'm the speaker that loves to put every single jot and tittle on your notes, and they here like to do it and let you write your own. I am so happy. So you don't have to write a bunch of stuff. If you send me your email or if you, then I will send it to you. Okay. And that way you will have it written down. If you want something to remember specifically, jot it down, but don't feel like, oh my gosh, she just blew through that. And now I'm on to the next thing. I want y'all to really soak all this in. Embed it in your heart. It's important stuff. Okay, wisdom. You know, a lot of times in the Bible, it talks about lady wisdom and wisdom. But wisdom sees truth as life-giving and vital and embraces the need to deliver it intentionally and delicately. Okay, we've got to see truth. Guys, this, every time I speak now, this is my big thing. This is your hard copy. Get it. Take it. What I asked for Christmas this year was my husband to rebind my Bible. I pray. I said, I don't care what it cost, because I got a new Bible a couple of years ago and I just can't pick it up. So get this out all the time. Your kids need to know that this is in the back of your car every day. And if you have 5 minutes, you pull it out and you see where the Lord wants to take you. So wisdom sees truth. And guys, we can't be that mom that says, you're going to love one another. We're not hammering it in. We're delicately. We're like surgeons. You know, truth has got to be woven in delicately. And you've really got to. You cannot be hammering it in all the time. Okay, so what? Proverbs 31:26. She speaks with wisdom. And faithful instruction is on her tongue. Okay, let me make sure. Because I was thinking when I wrote that down, I just wrote it from many years of I want to make sure. Yes, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Wisdom sees her children as God's creation and is a student of her children. Okay, they are all unique and different. Thank goodness. Have you ever been to the symphony? What if it was all violins? Wouldn't be near as, I don't really like the symphony, but if you got all those musics, instruments together, it's much more beautiful when you have a lot of different things coming in. Okay, so she sees her children as unique and different. There's always that harder yoke child. And everybody has it. You've got a harder yoke child. Lean in, learn about them, and love them well. You know, don't go to the one that always wants to sit in your lap and always wants to, you know, cuddle and love on you. Yeah, it's real easy to get in with that child and then kind of do this. But I see that child that gets stiff-armed doesn't go well when you add 10 years to that. And, you know, that's when you see a lot of acting out. So lean in. Find ways to love on them and then love them well. For you, I mean, think about it. David, I love Psalm 139. 1 through 22 is all about, you know me. You hem me in from front and back. He knows everything, every intention in your heart. The Lord knows everything. And then David says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. You created my inmost being. You know, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So guys, we've got to know that full well. We've got to be confident. God created this. He orchestrated our family. We have to see our families as orchestrated by God. Okay, wisdom sees conflict as a valuable opportunity to encourage and help children foster relationships within your four walls. Okay, so we are trying to forge together forever friendships. Okay, this is going to be the longest relationship that your kids will ever have, because chances are you and your husband will go away. And y'all, at one point, you will pass on. So your children, they know each other for the longest amount of time, okay? So relationships are the heartbeat of the home. If you've ever had somebody with heart disease, you will understand that when one artery is clogged, you need an angioplasty. And that's the same thing with the heart of the home, which is the relationships. When there's a blocked artery, it's death. I mean, ultimately, it's death. And that's what's going to happen with your family as well. So when you notice that happening, I remember for us, and I'm going to talk about this more in the ways and stuff, when I noticed that my kids weren't getting along, we closed the circle. We did not invite other friends in. We were not the family that said, oh, we have an extra ticket here. You can come, or you can invite a friend, or you can invite. We felt like every time that we had tickets or somewhere to go somewhere, it was our family. We were always investing intentionally in the family. Wisdom sees conflict as God bless you, as opportunities for growth or areas for growth, there's still work to be done. This is a process, not an event. Your kids may get along beautifully today, and then tomorrow it may, all hell may break loose. And, you know, I mean, literally, our last name is Hale, and there have been many times that I thought, okay, I want to change the spelling, H-E-L-L. It's a Hale house. But, you know, it's an opportunity to lean in. Okay, one of my favorite verses to memorize is Proverbs 18:17. First man's right till the second man comes to plead his case. Just know that. Even when you walk up to a group of women that are talking and somebody's going, oh, did you hear about Suzanne? You think to yourself, first man's right till the second man comes to plead his case. You don't know. You can't get in there and judge anything. The Lord, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch over the wicked and the good. He knows all the ins and outs. But you've got to realize the first man's right till the second man comes to plead his case. Wisdom focuses on sibling harmony. Sibling rivalry and conflict is the exception. Sibling harmony is the rule. Our house will get along. I mean, that's just the way the Hales are. We're going to get along. And I think as a young mom, when you have that mentality, then you're most likely to handle it in the way the Lord wants you to do. If you're like, oh, this is just sibling conflict, you know, we're never going to get along. If you think that, that'll be truth. That will come true. Okay, so we're going to teach, we're going to train. If you've taken my discipline class, those are so important. Teach and train. That's what we do as moms all day long. All scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Those are the tracks. We are going to be investing in those all the time. The best teachers are one that study it, know it, and then model it. And the trainers, it's a slow, patient, repetitive process. If somebody tells you that, oh, this mothering is so repetitious, say that's called rooting and grounding. You've got to think the positive. In your mind, say, okay, this isn't going well today, but I'm going to stay the course. Stay the course. It's worth it. Okay? So we're teaching and training. Don't be shocked or surprised when your kids don't get along and there's conflict. Hello, it's opportunities. Let's see it for what it's worth. And then the best gift you give your children is a sibling, but the best gift you give them in that relationship is conflict resolution and forgiveness. Teach them how to ask for forgiveness. And set the bar, guys, set the bar way up here, guys. Set it high. We are not raising kids to do the limbo through life. We are raising them to be hurdlers. Let's go. I mean, we are raising our kids to be hurdlers. If we fail to set clear expectations and we don't cling to those and really teach them, then what ends up happening is busyness and distractions. We allow it without even realizing it. You know, they're in there bickering, and then it's just kind of like it just goes over, and then that just goes on and on. So we allow it without even realizing it. In Colossians 3:13, it says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. We've got to teach forgiveness. Wisdom trades angry reactions for gentle, patient, biblical responses. So we've got to really remember that. And I got a note from a mom today. She just said, please pray for me. I've had some anger reactions with my kids, angry, you know, reactions. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to pray that you do the next right thing. So don't beat yourself up. There's a restart button and just do the next right thing. Okay? So just tell yourself, I'm going to do the next right thing. Because sometimes I love in James 1:19-20, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God has planned. So the thing I love about that is God's telling us how much He loves us. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Get your Sharpie out. Take note of it. Okay? Okay, and wisdom cries out. I think I should have started with this one and I should end with it. Wisdom cries out in prayer for her family, on behalf of her family. When things aren't going well, you cry out to the Lord. Okay, so if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you right now, I mean, then choose this day whom you will serve. And that's either the God of materialism or the God of, you know, anxious, fearful thoughts, or because in Joshua 24:15, it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Guys, it is a decision. It is a decision when you look at your house, what you're going to build. Okay. Does that make sense to y'all? Do you get that? It's really an intention. And so, and then I love Psalm 103:17. It just says, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and the righteousness with their children's children. Guys, we're not just parenting. I want to let y'all know right now, we are not just parenting our children. We are parenting our children's 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 children. And so that's a big deal. And I just want y'all to realize, because the Lord has called you, and that's what I said in the gift of motherhood. And when Gabriel came to Mary, he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That's such a powerful verse to me. We're not alone. Those days when you feel like you're all alone, you're not alone. Okay, we've just got to realize, we've got to let the peace rule in our hearts. We've got to allow it. Okay, so we've got to do that. So when we talk about our words send such a message. I'm a dental hygienist. I've been one for 33 years. And it's funny, I'll sometimes, I'm now cleaning the teeth of the kids that came that are now 30 and they're pregnant and having kids. I'm cleaning their teeth. And I've got a lot of sweet relationships with a lot of the kids that I've cleaned over the years. But I remember some of those kids coming in and not even wanting their teeth cleaned and crying. And, you know, the mom saying, you better sit there or else you're going to get a shot. You know, and I'm like, don't say that. You know, don't plant that seed. And I'm just trying to let them ride in the chair. And then I'm just thinking to myself, okay, this isn't going to go well. So I'll like get a Q-tip out and I'll touch their tooth with a Q-tip. And I'm like, okay, you're done. You did amazing. I was building into having kids love the dentist. And I have a lot of those kids that love the dentist. And so I just think that you're sending a message with your words and your actions. And so we've got to have a message that just resonates. We've got to have that saying in our hip pocket that we just pull out all the time. It's just that constant. And so the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I mean, the greatest fruit salad that I get today is seeing how my children love each other. All three of them love each other like nobody's business, and that is sweet. My daughter, my youngest, just went to A&M, and I remember we were at a party, my oldest, my 25-year-old, and it's been real sweet that Sally went to DTS, and so she was home for the last 3 years before she, you know, she's still home. But when Gracie, we were at a party, and I overheard her saying, I'm going to miss Gracie so much. She goes, she's my best friend. And I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, that is so sweet. What a gift that they developed that friendship, because when she came back from college and had that 3 years, and they do everything together. Like last night, Sally said, I'm going to bed early. I'm going to go FaceTime Grace. I mean, that is just sweet fruit. And so I want that for each one of y'all. And I'm just going to tell you to hold firm to that. 1 Peter 3:8-11 says, finally, all of you, live in harmony with each other. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Okay, I love that the Lord put that in there. Love as brothers. His expectation for families is for us to love as brothers, for us to love as brothers and sisters. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil for evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. So that's 1 Peter 3:8-11. And let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And so these are the little sayings that I want you to put in your pocket, because guys, I think sibling harmony starts when you find out you're pregnant. I just do. I think you make a book and you have pictures of that child. And so if you're beyond that, you haven't lost ground. But I mean, you make a book and then you're like, oh, look, when we brought you home from the hospital, that's mommy with you. And there's Aunt Granny or whatever with you. And so you show them pictures, and so you prepare them. And then you take them to the hospital and you let them look in the window and see all the little babies. One day you're going to have a baby like that. And then you start talking about, oh, I'm so excited. God made you the best big brother. And you're using all these words to just pour in. I'm so thankful that God made you the big sister. You are going to be the best. How could I have done it without you? Always making those deposits. And then when each one of my kids ran to the window, they looked in there after the baby was born and they saw their picture in the bassinet. So it started their relationship off there. Sally's like, oh, there's my baby, because there's me, my picture. And so you start building into that from the start of a new baby. One thing about moms, though, we love to compare. We love to label our kids like, oh, he's my studious one, or oh, he's my firecracker, or he's my this, or she's my that. And guys, these kids are listening. They listen so much more. When my doctor comes in with a patient, I tell my doctor everything I saw in that patient's mouth. And that patient listens a lot more than the last hour that I've been telling them about it. When I'm like, okay, she has a crack on the tooth on the upper right. When we talk about, if you're talking to your husband, you're like, oh my gosh, this has been the worst day ever. Blaine hit Gracie 3 times. He is such, you know, he's going through such a bad phase. Let me tell you, the minute you said Blaine, his ears perked up and he's listening. And he's like, oh, I was mean all day. I was bad. I acted ugly. I did this. So watch what we say about our kids. They're listening. And then if they have an issue like a learning difference, or if you see them struggling, man, be on their team. Be the best cheerleader you can. I know y'all have heard me talk about Blaine's dyslexia, but I'm telling you, that is who Blaine is today. I remember sitting around the table one day, and we're big table topic people, and I pulled out one. It said, would you rather be athletic, good-looking, or smart? And I said, I'd rather be athletic. And my husband said, well, I'd rather you be good looking. And I said, well, I don't care. I'd still rather be. So when it got to my son, he just sat there. And he was in second grade, and he'd just been diagnosed with dyslexia. And he was like, I don't know, because I'm kind of all three. And I thought, pass him the humble pie. He needs the whole pie. But I thought to myself, if he's struggling so much in school and he sees himself as smart, then I've done a good job. I've done something right. So make honest deposits. Don't just look for things. Look for one thing that you can say that's good. I love the way you loved your sister. I'm telling you, moms, you have such an opportunity. If you're walking through Target and you see a little boy helping his sister, don't miss the opportunity when you have your kids with you to stop and say, are you the big brother? Oh my gosh, I can see why God made you the big brother. You are the best big brother ever. You think your kids aren't listening to that? If I walk through and I go, oh, I love your skirt, and some little girl looks up to me with big eyes and says, thank you. I'm like, oh my gosh, I am a mom that loves good manners. I still say that. My kids have heard me say that since they were babies. I mean, but you say those things that you want your kids to hear over and over. I am a repeater. I repeat things all the time, and I'm sure my kids and everybody get sick of it, but I am just a repeater. I want to continually layer by layer by layer, you know, train my kids. Okay, I'm going to free y'all up, because you are not a judge, you are not a policeman, and you are not a referee. You are a mediator, okay? So you have got to help your kids navigate through these waters. When my kids would come in and say things like, I would always try to let my kids work it out. Try to let them work it out. I was always the one that had an answer. I had an answer to the situation. So my kids, I didn't let my kids get Happy Meals or anything. And so we went to Sonic one day, and they had these Inspector Gadget toys. And so I thought, you know what? We don't normally. I'm just going to break the rules a little bit. So I got them both a toy, but got them both a Happy Meal or a Sonic Meal, whatever they call those. And they got their toys. Well, Blaine wanted Gracie's toy. And I heard this in the back seat going on and on and on. I said, guys, y'all either work it out or I'll work it out. And so Blaine came up with this decision, Mom, put them behind your back. And whatever we get, we'll be grateful. So I said, okay. So Blaine picked one hand, Gracie picked the other. Well, of course, Blaine got the one that he did not want. And so there was some more bickering going on. And I turned around, I said, hey guys, I'm going to work it out. I said, give me the toys. So I got out of the car and I just went and threw them away. And I got back in the car. And they were like, Gracie, see, now we don't get the toys. But I was like, hey guys, I'm always going to have an answer. I'm going to work it out. I didn't say it like, I can't take y'all anywhere. That's the last time we're getting. I didn't do any of that stuff. My delivery was, I worked it out. We got rid of the toys. Your relationship is more important to me than 2 toys from Sonic. Okay, that's the message that I was trying to send. And so we've just got to have that. And I think if you're at home, call everybody to the table and say, okay, I want to hear what's going on. First man's right till the second man comes to plead his case. I go, Gracie, I'm going to start with you ladies first. Tell me about what's going on. Well, he hit me and he, no, wait. When I ask you, it always starts with I, and then tell me what happened. And then she's like, oh, well, I took the toy because I'm okay. And then you let Blaine. And Blaine's going, well, she took my toy. Yours starts with I, too. So we're going to start there, and I want you to tell me. And then you say, you start with I, and that's what you do. And then you're like, okay, tell me, what does the Bible say, or what does God say about that right there? And then you give them each, well, I should have asked if I could have the toy. I should have. You guide them. You help them navigate those waters. And then the goal is, how do we make it right? You're like, okay, Blaine, tell me, how could we have made that right? How could we have replayed this and done a better job? Because the goal, guys, is always God's holy best. And God's holy best is that we would love each other as brothers and sisters. We would love each other. That's the key word. So resentment is planted in the hearts of the one that feels like you always side with the other child. And this is a little saying I want you to get in your mind. Don't walk in the room and assume. Because you walk in the room and you see Blaine hitting Grace, you immediately, oh, he's been my problem these last few weeks. It's his fault. And that's not, you've got to pull it at, you've got to pull everybody out of the situation, see their little sweet faces, and say, okay, let's work through this together. and so then I think another great question to ask is help me understand why hitting your sister was the right thing to do. Help me understand that, because that's just not the loving, caring, compassionate response that we're looking for, or reaction. Help me understand that. Okay, and I had a mom call me not too long ago, and she said, I want your thoughts on, I told my son that, you know, he got this toy for his birthday, and it's his special toy. And I said, okay, well, let's just process through that. I said, I'm going to let you come up with a decision. If you give your kids a special toy and they call that their special toy, they never really want that special toy until their sibling gets it. And then it's, that's my special toy. And so you're teaching them manipulation. So always think about when you label things like a toy or label a, you know, if they want a special blanket, great. It's in your bedroom. It's in your bed. And if you want to love on your blankie or whatever, then you keep it in your bed. Because that's just inevitable. You're setting your kids up for conflict when you say, you know, that's his special toy, or he got that for his birthday. You know, that's just, God bless you. So we're always teaching and training them. We're always on the same team. So you need to set the clear expectations, even if you don't have a strong bond, especially if you don't have a strong bond with your own siblings. So for me, I didn't really have that. So that was a huge priority to me. And I want y'all to really think about the word bond and think about it like glue. We stick together. We are, you know. So here's some of the things that I said. These were my little quippy sayings that I used. We fight for each other, not against each other. Okay? So I would always say to my kids at the end of those conflict times, I'd say, you know what, guys? The Hales, we fight for each other, not against each other. Now, let me tell you how all these little sayings come back to you. Because I just got this Golf Oklahoma book. And there's my son with his, right there, with his three best friends, or two best friends, the three of them. At the end of the article, it says, his quote, "I always say we're the closest team in the country," Hale said. "I think if you ask some of the guys who have been able to get inside of us when we're all together, I think they'd agree. We have fun with each other. It goes back to fighting. We fight for each other. Golf is such an individual sport, but when you get a team to rally around each other, that's a family. You know that you're not making a bogey for yourself. You're making a bogey for the team. We love each other. We're brothers, and we fight for each other like brothers would." So you think that didn't warm my heart to hear that? You think that didn't send a message that it's worth having a saying? It's worth having something, a go-to that you cling to? Another thing is... And I'll kind of go. But anyways, another thing that I say, we fight for each other, not against each other. Everybody plays. When my kids were younger, that was my message. Everybody plays. Now, I didn't always make, when I remember one time, and I've shared the story before, Sally had a friend over. They were about 7. So Blaine was about 3. And, you know, the little girl, Blaine came down. They won't let me play. And I said, well, go tell the girls to come down here. And I said, hey, guys, what are y'all playing? And the little girl said, house. And I said, you know what? I go, our rule in our house is everybody plays. And she started crying. She goes, well, that's not the rule at my house. I said, well, that's the rule here. Everybody plays. I said, you're playing house. And I said, every house needs a dad, a brother, or a dog. And he's happy to be any of the three. So he will play. Now, there were some times that I thought, you know what, they need to play by themselves. And so I would whisper in his ear, hey, you and I'm going to get the popcorn ready. I'm going to get the drinks ready. And you pull them aside and you make some one-on-one deposits in his tank while she's playing. But as a rule, it doesn't hurt your kids to all play together. That's when you know, and it wasn't coming from Sally, that's when you know, close the circle, tighten up the circle. Understandable, never acceptable. You know, when you have a child that didn't sleep well the night before and they're, you know, causing a ruckus and they're hitting their sibling, yeah, it's real easy to say, oh, well, he's tired today. He's going to be like that. No, that's understandable, never acceptable. Hitting a child, hitting a sibling, doing those things, that's not acceptable. So you can't give them a cop out like, oh, he's tired or he didn't eat lunch or he didn't do this. No, that's never acceptable to you know, don't make excuses. Two wrongs. My kids have heard that a million times. Two wrongs don't make a right. If he hits you, how's your response? You can come get me. You can do things, but don't choose to. Two wrongs don't make a right. And then we always use we are in the building business. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful in building others up according to their need, that it may benefit those who listen. So if my kids were bickering and I said, hey guys, we're in the building business, all I had to do is put my hand out here and they could think back on Ephesians 4:29 because we had all memorized it. Building business, guys. And then they put their hands, one, two, three, hey. It's good to have a group hug. Come on. I don't like, you know, go open the back door and have everybody throw their bad attitudes out. And slam it real quick. Or if you're driving in the car and everybody's bickering, just roll the windows down. And the air's coming in, you're like, throw the bad attitudes out. We got to get rid of those. That will not be pleasing to the Lord. Zero tolerance for disrespect. It's got to be there. You just have got to have zero. And I mean, tell your kids, we have zero tolerance policy in our house for disrespect. And that's being disrespectful to your sibling. People notice. That was my big thing. So I had, when my son left, I had a wisdom words thing. And these are the two things that my kids, Sally wrote a letter to Blaine and Gracie wrote her letter. And Sally's, I was just going to read you a little bit of it, but it just said, Bear, I can't believe you are already old enough to be going to college. It feels like I just left yesterday, but I'm back in Dallas kicking it at home. College is seriously the best 4 or 5 years of your life, so don't take them for granted. You will grow and learn so much during that time. One thing I learned early on was to surround yourself with people that build you up in your relationship with Christ instead of tearing you down. Something you will learn very quick is how good we have it. I've seen my friends go through a lot of heartache because of their parents, how their parents treat them or how they grew up. Nothing has made me appreciate mom and dad more than showing us unconditional love. Even though we always give mom a hard time about telling us that people notice, it's never been more true than in college. I'm so lucky to have a brother like you and Gracie that loves me and Gracie so well. That is unheard of in today's world. I sure will miss you, but I will gladly take over your room. So, and then she put a Bible verse. She put Proverbs 8:32-33. It says, now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Do not ignore it. So, that was what she wrote. Blaine, nicknames are big. Sally's is Sassy, Blaine's was Blaine Bear, and Gracie's was Grizzoodle. And she used to ask me when I'd fill out stuff, she goes, Mom, should I put Grizzoodle? And I'm going, if you want to, you know. I mean, she always thought, yeah, that was just what we called. So nicknames are very endearing, if you can. So it says, Blaine Bear, I cannot believe you are graduating. I'm going to miss you so much when you leave for college. I'm dreading the day when you start packing. I'm so thankful that me and you have such a strong relationship. You are such an awesome brother, and I will always remember all of our inside jokes and memories. I enjoy every minute when I'm with you, and you never fail to put a smile on my face. I love you so much, Blaine. I'm so grateful God made you my brother. Thank you for loving me so well, Blaine. Gracie grew. Then she put memories. Here's our memories. We thought she was a boy. So memories, sharing a room for 7 years, they did. Playing with our Nerf guns, playing volleyball in our backyard, playing the game with the beach ball on the stairs, playing I Spy during Christmas time in our room, you reading me your golf books. He tried to make her a golfer. Climbing the tree, you trying to teach me to play golf on your course, Bear Trail, which was in our backyard. I read you those because, guys, the things we're saying, I always used to say people notice. When people tell you something special about your kids, I'd always say people, and they'd go, Mom, we know, people notice. But people are always looking, and we can be the example. We can be the example, okay? And then, the thank you for your good manners, if you see other kids doing that. I mean, is any of this resonating with y'all? I mean, do you feel like you're getting some stuff? I don't want to just, beat that over the head. I don't know. I want to make sure, okay, we've got some, we've got a lot of time for. Okay, so ways. Okay, so we got to know the direction that we're going. I'm so thankful for ways on my phone. Tells you where the traffic is. Know the directions you're headed. Where there's a will, there are ways. But guys, we've got to remember where we started. Where we got our little houses and we're building a home. So we got to remember that. In Proverbs 24:3-6, it says, by wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. A wise man or mom has great power, and a man of knowledge increases their strength. For waging war, you need guidance, and for victory, many advisors. I think that's a great verse. We're building our homes. We've got to have wisdom. So refueling station. I love the verse in Deuteronomy 28:6. It just says, you will be blessed when you go in and when you come out. Guys, our homes have got to be a refueling station. The world will beat our people up faster than that. So if you've got anybody going to school and then coming home, those first couple of weeks, it's always kind of, hairy, because when they come back home, you're like, oh my gosh, it was so quiet while they were at school and now they're home and there's all this, conflict. Well, I know how the astronauts feel. It is like that. You've got to really be on point, knowing that, back to zero tolerance, you don't accept that. But we've got to, our homes have got to be a blessing to our people. We've got to, the energy and the aroma of our home, and I love the aroma acronym, that's just affection, respect, order, merriment, and affirmation. It's just got to be, it's funny, in my discipline class, and I'll just kind of throw this out there, I mentioned about order, and one of the moms came up to me afterwards and she said, I have no order in my home and I don't know where to start. And so there was another mom that was there with me and everybody else was gone. And so the mom said, well, what do you mean? And she goes, oh, I've got a Roomba, a little thing. But she said, I don't have anywhere for it to run because there's stuff on the floor. And I said, okay, well, help me here. I mean, like trash or what's on the floor? She goes, well, kind of. And so she goes, I don't know where to start. And I said, well, go home and get... I said, when does your trash man come? She said, on Wednesday, and this was Monday night. I said, well, go home and get a trash bag, and tomorrow when your husband goes to work, she has a 10-month-old. I said, go around the house and just pick up all the trash. Put it in the trash bag and then take it right out to the trash can. And then she said, oh, okay, well, that's a good... And then I said, then I want you to go through your house. I want you to pick things up and say, is this going to be a burden to me or a blessing? And if it's a burden, put it in the trash bag and then fill it up, go put it in your car, and then drive it to Goodwill. So she said, okay, I can do that. And I said, if it's going to be a blessing, then go find a home for it. Everything in your house has to have a home. So, and then this other mom said, well, I love to help organize. Can I come help you? And I said, well, I want to go help. And so we agreed that a week later we would go and help. So she kept that night, the next day, I guess she spent all day, she sent me a video of these boxes of stuff. And she goes, oh, this is... So I'm thinking, she's making a lot of progress. So the next week, this was Monday night, so the following Tuesday, this mom and I went over to her house, and I walked in, and I mean, guys, there was stuff everywhere. And I just couldn't believe it. And I was like, okay, what's that box? And she goes, oh, that's toys. And I was like, okay, what's that box? She said, oh, that's toys. That's a 10-month-old. So we kind of went, and I hope if she listens to this, I hope she understands. I'm just trying to encourage y'all. I would never say your name. But so we, this one mom and I and her, we spent the whole day and organized this whole room. And she sent me a video afterwards, and we hung pictures on the wall. She said she didn't even think she'd ever hung a picture on the wall. There were stacks of just pictures just sitting there. And so then she taped her husband when he came home that night, and he saw the room. And she was like, "You're not going to believe." And so she showed him, and he was like, "Holy smokes, what happened today?" And so she said it was such a blessing because the husband did his Bible study in there the next morning. And he looked at her and he goes, "Do you think we could have a whole house like this?" And so we are now working on getting her order. And guys, those little bitty things change the whole aroma of your home. Just making sure. And so she said, and I listened to everything you said about sending the wrong message, having that many toys, and I'm going to get rid of that because it's not teaching your kids to be a good steward. I mean, I see now we didn't give our kids a lot of gifts at Christmas. And they got a lot of practical things like shampoo in their stockings and that kind of thing. But we didn't give them a lot of stuff. We gave them usually a sweatshirt or a T-shirt, new tennis shoes or new shoes that they needed. We weren't going to, Tuesday, if you said, "Hey, I need a new pair of tennis shoes," I didn't go to Nordstrom's or the mall and buy them a new pair of tennis shoes. I'm like, "Oh, put it on your Christmas list." And so they just knew. And now my daughter said last night, we were talking about just material things and how some kids are just raised with that. It's just their reward or given, I don't know, entitled. And she goes, "Mom, there's not a thing that I need. I don't care what kind of car I drive. I don't care. I mean," and so it's just, we're sending these messages that we don't even realize we're sending. So I would just say, really watch what you're sending. And because your kids notice that when they go to college. And I read an article, and I can send that to whoever. It's about I Am Confident. And it just talks about things being accessories. Like when you put things on, do you feel like, does it give you power? Do you think, "Oh, I'm driving this fancy car"? Does that give you power? Or are you thinking, "Oh, this is just going to get me from A to B, and it just happens to be a nice car"? Because, I don't know, we just always had, I have a newer car now, but my husband still drives my old Suburban, and man, I treated that thing with, I sent the message, I vacuumed under the seats every week, and that's another thing. I used to work at Highlander in the drop-off, and I would open the door of Mom's cars, and French fries would fall out, and you just never knew. It was like a snack. Who needs a snack? Just look under the seat. There's something under there. So I'm just saying, what are you teaching your kids? Really try to keep those kind of things orderly because you don't know. And if that may not be your deal, but I think it sends a message to your kids, especially when you buy them a car, if you don't, treat things like that as blessings. So then I put on here, celebrate family and find the little things to celebrate. Okay, so it's natural to want to celebrate when they made the volleyball team or they got an award at school, but celebrate the fact that they tried out. How great if you had a special plate or something and it was just because maybe they didn't make it. My daughter tried out for masks. Sally tried out for everything known to man. Never got a thing. And I see who she is today. Oh my gosh. When I come back, I want to come back and be Sally. She is the neatest girl ever. But I told her, keep swinging. So Gracie's at A&M and she tried out for, she battled herself because she has OCD and she said, "I'm going to try out for Gilbert Leadership Conference." I said, "Okay, great, good. I'm glad for you, Gracie." And then she texts me back, "No, I'm not going to try out for Gilbert Leadership." I said, "Okay, great. That's awesome. Don't try it. If you don't see it fitting your schedule, don't try out." "No, I'm going to try out for Gilbert Leadership because I'm going to let the Lord decide what I should be." And I'm like, I wonder where she heard that. So she tries out. And she calls me back after her interview on Wednesday and she said, "Mom, I did terrible. I did the worst. I'm so unintelligent in interviews," because she had to sit in front of a panel and try out. And I said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you did terrible. Because if you get it, you'll know it's from the Lord. Because you did terrible in your own skin, you did terrible." Texted me on Monday, "Mom, I got Gilbert Leadership Conference." I said, "Oh wow, then you know it's of the Lord." So celebrate the things just because they tried out. Yeah, just because they tried out. So look for little ways to celebrate and highlight your kids, because if you send the message that, "Oh, we only celebrate when you win something, get something," it's the wrong message to send. Celebrate your child gets a 60 on a test. Celebrate that you saw how hard they studied. A 60 was obviously their best job. Celebrate it. Don't look for those little ways. Express expressed affection. Oh my gosh. Do you know what a pat on the back and what playing with a little girl's hair does for a little girl? Oh my gosh, expressed affection. I would put sticky notes all over my house. And when you see a sticky note, that's where you run and give everybody a hug. And just a for nothing hug. Just because you love them so much. Get little reminders in your mind just to go and just give them a hug. Prioritize one-on-one time. My husband loves George Strait, and I like to go to bed at 9 o'clock. I would like to. I don't get to all the time, but I had to change that when my kids would stay up and come in at 10:30 or 11 and or 12 or whatever, and I wanted to be up, you know, to kind of see them. But I just think prioritize it one-on-one. My husband started taking Sally to George Strait concerts when she was about, I'd say, 2 or 3. We were talking about that. And I would come down the next morning, and there would be little lighted necklaces that they had, you know, they got at the George Strait concert, and there'd be two empty Sonic cups. So I just think, find things, you know, the most underrated relationship is a dad and the daughter. Oh, man, this was sweet because I went and sat with a mom recently, and her husband was going to take the daughter on the date. And I said, on a date that night, and she's probably 4. And she said, and I said, oh, my gosh, make him ring the doorbell. And she was like, what? And I go, oh, yeah, if it's a date, make him ring the doorbell, open the door, make him pull out her seat for you, treat her like, you know, she's the queen. So she sent me a video that night of her husband knocking on the door and the daughter going out. And then she showed me later that night, the little girl was like, had her arms around her daddy, like maybe the next night because they were so connected and bonded. And then she showed me a picture. I guess the mom followed him out and she showed me a picture of her daughter kissing her husband on the lips. And I said, you did not teach her to kiss on the first date, did you? And she said, I didn't even think about that. But anyway, so it's just sweet how that, and then she showed me a little thing where her and her husband were dancing, the husband and the daughter were dancing together. And I just remember, oh my gosh, that's one of our favorite things. So prioritize that time. We used to do, you know, I remember Sally, those family times are non-negotiable. When Sally got older, she did not, we went to the state fair. That was, in fact, Sally even said this year, Mom, can you and Dad and I go to the state fair? And I said, sure. And then it ended up raining, so we ended up not going. So her and her dad just went out to dinner. But the state fair, I remember her saying, well, I'm going to the state fair, but I'm going with friends. And I said, no, you're not. We're going as a family. It's family time. She goes, well, I'm going with my friends. I said, no. We this is our thing. We go to the state fair. And so the whole way to the state fair, she sat in the back, you know, just with her arms crossed, and she was so torqued off, as my family likes to call it. And we just kept making conversation, and we get to the state fair, and her dad get on the crazy mouse, and they happen to snap a picture right when she's going, wee, and having the best time ever. And I bought that picture because I was like, I want that picture because, you know, this is, she didn't want to go because it's a reminder. It's real easy when your kids are like, no, I want to go with my friends, and you're, fine, go with your friends. No, you're going to the state fair. We're doing this as a family. So you've got to build into that. You can't just one day when they're 14 say, oh, we're going to do family things. This is when little bitty. We would do things like blindfold our kids. I remember one time we blindfolded them and took them to Keller's, and they had to guess where we were going, and we just all ate hamburgers in the car, and that was just fun. We used to always go to the Trail Dust about once a year, and they would go up in the closet and help my husband pick out a tie. I don't even know if they have the Trail Dust anymore, but it used to be out on 35. It was a steakhouse, and if you came in with a tie, they would cut it off and pin it up on the board. So my kids would go up and go, Dad, we're going, Dad, you need to dress up and look really nice. And he'd go, well, what should I wear? And they'd go, oh, wear a tie. And so they'd go help him. He'd be like trying to find one that he didn't mind them cutting and leaving at the deal. And then my husband came up with this one time. We go down to Lakey, and this one family that they're like distant cousins of my husband, but they've just had a really hard life, and there's lots of divorce, probably multiple divorces. And so this one little boy's name is Tommy. And so my husband said, okay, guys, we were going down to Lakey. That's one of our big things on 4th of July, and that is the best. I mean, my daughter, Gracie, is just devastated when we don't get to go because it's just cut off from the world. It's on the Frio River. And they have a house down here, this one family, and then Blaine's family has a house, you know, down on this end. But we always see them, and so my husband goes, okay, tomorrow, guys, is Build Up Tommy Day. And every time, so Tommy was the little boy down there, and he just had a rough life. And so we all intentionally built up Tommy. And that's just a good thing. When you know one of your children's struggling, pull your other kids aside and say, hey, tomorrow's Build Up Sally Day. We're going to look for ways to build her up and, you know, encourage her. She's, you know. So I would just really be committed to that. Commitment to meals together, guys. Get that dinner table going. I don't care what you're serving, but make sure. That is a time to reconnect. So we've always had a round table because I made my husband buy one when my kids were little because I wanted to see this one mom down there in Lakey. It's Blaine's aunt. She would always say, oh, having three kids and makes a family of five, you can never stay in that same hotel room. You can't do that. I was like, yeah, you can. I mean, we all snuggle up and do whatever we have to do. But she was so negative about it. It's so, the more kids you have is better to me. I mean, I would have had 15 if I could have. But so I think the round table, we love table topics. And it's funny how my kids, they've just been raised with that. And so we have the adult table at Thanksgiving and then we have the kid table. But my kids, all three of them, when it's after dinner's been eaten, they drag chairs in and sit with us in there because they know that the rich conversation is going to happen. That I'm going to say, oh, Mama, tell me about when you and P.I., you know, on your first date or when you went, or we'll go around. If you were part of the, you know, the manger scene, what would you be? You know, I'd be the angel. I'd be Mary. I'd be, you know, they know conversations and they want to laugh and reminisce and because we've done that our whole lives. I mean, we've done that our whole lives. Everybody does bedtime. No negotiation. Everybody does bedtime. Some of my favorite memories are when we were all in there together. We all came together, my husband, my kids, and, you know, and I would always do massages on my kids. And as they got older, I said, there's a message in the massage. I would put lotion all over their back, and I'm telling you, baby magic, you got to get it from the bottom of the shelf. But Gracie wanted baby magic to take to, when I was in A&M a couple weeks ago, her roommate said, oh, Mom, I need to get some baby magic because now she loves the smell. But I always kept a little thing of baby magic in my diaper bag and I would put it all over my kids' hair and everything when I took them to the nursery. This is kind of my trick. And then when I came back, everybody was always holding my people because they smelled so good. And so I would put this lotion on their backs and I would just draw like I and then a heart, and then a you, and they'd say, I love you. You know, the minute I do I, they'd go, I love you. You know, they knew what I was going to write. But I would just put messages like spell their name. And as the old, you know, if they were like 7 or 8, everybody loves a little massage on their back. And so the kids, I would just make the lotion really, and just massage your little shoulders. I mean, I don't know, that was just my silly little thing to do, but they loved that. And then we always played, when my kids were really little, we played this thing called the Lion's Den. And I don't know why it was, but my husband would take the arms and I would take the feet and we would go, well, I'm going to throw you in the lion's den. And we would just throw them on the bed really high and they'd laugh and then they'd scurry down in their little pajamas and come back and get in line. They all wanted to be thrown. I mean, even Sally at like 7 or 8, she was so heavy, but we still did it. She wanted to do it. Dance parties. Dance parties at the Hale House were the most fun. If there's a horrible mood, in fact, Gracie's small group leader for years, she texted me one day and she said, I just channeled my inner Millie. She disciplined one of her kids and put him in his room and then she cranked up the music and then he came out like, look, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? He wanted to be restored and he wanted to be a part of the dance party. So that's always a way, that's a good icebreaker, you know, dance. We loved music when my kids were little. Backyard football versus bowl football. You know, I had a boy and he would always get so upset. He was the most competitive and he loves justice. Boys love justice. They want everything to be fair. And having Mom and Grace on your team was never appeared fair. He wanted Dad and Sally. And so he was all about winning. And so empower your boys to say, you know what, there's backyard football and there's bowl football. And bowl football is when you put the blackout under your eyes and you put the helmet on and the shoulder pads. Backyard football is where you hand the ball to Grace and you make sure she scores the touchdown. You usher her across the finish line. Backyard football is taking your weakest player and making them look like a star because you don't know. And you just train them that this is backyard football, not bowl football. Bowl football means, you know, Blaine would get in the car with me and he goes, I just love to make people cry. Okay, will you do that? You know, you're going, I hope he doesn't choose football because that's not a good thing. Sharing a room. My kids shared a room. Sally and Grace shared a room from 7 on. Blaine and Grace shared a room from 0 to 7. And I love Gracie came down one day and she was like, she said, I was scared last night. And I go, why didn't you come get me? She goes, Blaine prayed with me. So it's sweet to see their, you know, their relationship. He was just so sweet. I think always having a we mentality, we share, we, you know, the hell share, the you know, we do. And having just that mentality, when you see your kids not sharing, say, hey guys, we share. I can work it out if you can't. We're a family that shares. How do we share? You know, you've got to get that. Well, it was funny because we practiced this a lot because I had three kids in three different schools, or two of mine were at Highlander at one time, and then one was at junior high. And so we went to Sonic every day because we had a 30-minute window that and we had to do homework in the car. I mean, my car was a moving study hall because I would have the sharp pencils and all the stuff in my car. So we were going through Sonic, and we just knew one person picked the drink every week. And so I looked around. I was like, okay, what are we getting today, guys? And Blaine was like, let's get a strawberry lime slush. And Gracie goes, I don't want to share. And I said, oh, that's fine. That's fine. And I said, okay, Blaine, so what do you think? He said, yeah, strawberry lime slush. I said, oh, good choice. Strawberries are in season. Gracie loves strawberries. So I said, yes, I'll have a Route 44. Let's get a big one. Route 44 strawberry lime slush and a glass of water with no ice. So she had no idea what was coming her way. Oh, and throw in a popcorn chicken in there too. So we get the stuff, you know, and so then I get the water with no ice and I hand it back to Grace. And then Blaine, like I planned it, he like sips through things. He's like, oh my gosh, I got a strawberry stuck in my straw. I said, oh, I know, they're big this time of year and they're really good. So he gets the strawberry unlodged. He's like, oh my gosh, these are so good. So Gracie decides at that point, she goes, well, can I have a sip? I said, oh, no, you didn't want to share. You got a water with no ice. And so she like sits there with her water and we enjoy our strawberry lime slush and we're passing it back and forth to each other. And so then we have another family in the car the next week. And so I ran in to get two water bottles, one for their family, one for our family. Because you know what? If your kids are going to get sick, guys, they're going to get sick. We share, you know, there's nothing that I feel like is more wasteful than to get four drinks. And then at the end of the day, when you're cleaning out your car, you're throwing, they've all been drank out this much. And it teaches your kids to share. I mean, I'm just saying that's how we did it. And so this little boy in the back seat, I said, this is for y'all and this is for the Hales. He said, I don't like to share. And Gracie with her little bob haircut went, I would never say that to my mom. And so I went, taste of victory for me. So you got to think about the message you're sending. I mean, that was like, you know, the best thing. So I would say to enlist and empower your children to take care of each other and to love each other. Empower them. You know, that's a thing where you pull away. Man, Gracie does not know how to build blocks very good. She's little. Could you help me train her to do that? I would love that if you could, because you're the best block builder in the house. Okay, so enlist. Okay, somebody falls and hurts their knees and it's bleeding. Dr. Hale, Dr. Blaine Hale, we need you in the kitchen. You're the best one to put a Band-Aid on. You know, you enlist them to help and care for that child. You just never know what your words are saying. Role play. You are teaching and training life skills. Guys, this is relationship 101. If you can teach your kids this, this is going to impact relationships, their spouses, their children. Look beyond just in your home. Who does not need to know how to work well with others in business and jobs? This is going to be a forever thing for your kids. And I think you know, in those days where you see they're not sharing well, you get on the thing. Another thing is, I love when parents tell me, oh, well, you know, I'm having trouble because my 13-month-old wants a toy and then my son will rip it from her. And the mom is like, and I always tell him, if you're going to take it out of her hands, give her something else to play with. And I'm like, uh-uh. You've got to say, hey, Sally has that right now. She's playing with it. Let her play. And she may hold it for 2 seconds and then go, oh, thank you, Sally. You're now sharing with your brother. You kind of plant those words. You're like, no, we don't rip it out. It's kind of like a substitution because you know, I'll give her this to appease her, but then you know, you can't really teach. Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? That you can't really teach. You got to really think about what you're training and what you're teaching and listen for opportunities. One day, so Gracie came downstairs. They had bickered for the first week when they got out of school. And I'm telling you, reentry, like I said, is hard. You know, that first week of school in the summer when everybody's back home and you're all looking at each other, I'm bored. And so you've got to really be in tune to those opportunities. So Gracie comes down. She goes, where's Blaine? I said, oh, he's at a golf tournament. And she said, oh. And I said, why? She goes, it's no fun without Blaine. Honey, I got a piece of paper, a blank piece of paper, and set her down at the kitchen table. And I said, I want you to write, it's no fun without Blaine. It's no fun without Blaine 20 times. And so she did. And I took it over to the deal and I stuck it right there. And so when Blaine walked in, he was like, what's that? I said, oh, Gracie, you tell him. Because the first thing she said today was, it's no fun without Blaine. And so he was like, wow. So man, all summer long, when I saw them bickering outside, I'd go, hello, y'all need to come in. We're going to revisit the chalkboard. You know, what does it say? I mean, I kept it up all summer. And it just totally reinforced, it's no fun without Blaine. Y'all are best buddies. Y'all can find something. Look and see things. When you see your kids playing well together, make a mental note. What are they playing with? And start encouraging that. Hey, guys, let's come over here and put this together. Let's go do this. I had these one things. I don't know where we got them, but they were tubes, and they had these little clamps, and they had a big book, and you could build all these different cars, and have wheels and all kind of things. My kids played with that more than anything. It really, boys and girls, it didn't matter who was. We could build like carts to have a lemonade stand. We could build, I don't even know where my mom got it, but it was such a great thing. And they played with that for years. I love when Sally, one time she had to do a project with a girl from junior high. And so she came over to do the project, and I didn't even know her, and neither did Sally, really. They got paired together. And so I kind of set up, when Blaine had dyslexia, I set up that we always had study hall or study around the kitchen table, and that's where the pencils and the popcorn and all the snacks and stuff, and we all sat there. I sat there and did my BSF. Gracie sat there and did what she did, you know, Sally, Blaine. And so Sally had a friend over, and I was over kind of chopping some stuff up for dinner, and I heard Gracie kind of looked up, and she said, next week I'm moving in with Sally. I'm going to share a room with Sally. And the little girl said, ooh, gross. I would never share a room with my sister. And Sally looked at Grace and she goes, I think it's going to be great. And I was sitting there, I mean, I just dropped my stuff. And later on, I went over to Sally and I said, thank you for being a forever sister and not a temporary friend. Because that, the deposit she made in Gracie's tank, and I shared that when Gracie went off to college. Sally's been a forever friend to her. Okay, so here's just some ideas. I'm sorry I get so teary-eyed. What in the world? It's terrible. Anyway, so ideas. Family camp. We always were committed to TBRM family camp. That is the best. You drive through the gates, and it is what heaven is going to be like. We had more fun and more laughter and more the investment in families. We always went with the Wagners. Todd always taught. And the family friendship between our families just grew and grew and grew. And we had more laughs and more, we've got more memories than anything. My husband got the nickname of Turf because we were going to go down that river, you know, in whatever it's called. What's it called? Yes, thank you. Hello. And he like had his glasses on and he like slipped and he had turfed the whole week. He had done things and so he just got the nickname. So we just have fond memories of TBRM. I remember when my mom got cancer, we were not scheduled to go to TBRM, and I told my husband, the greatest gift that you can give me is while I'm in Houston at MD Anderson with my mom is if you take our kids to TBRM. And he did. And it was so great knowing that my kids were being poured into by all those people, and I was able to love on my mom. So that was a sweet thing. Secret Santa. The best thing was, you know, I just was talking to a friend this morning and she's got some conflict with her two kids. And I said, oh my gosh, you got to pull out the Secret Santa. So in the Lord's fashion, Blaine and Grace were really in conflict together. And so we did Secret Santa. And as the Lord would have it, when they pulled a name out, Blaine pulled out Grace and Grace pulled out Blaine. And it was so sweet because, and I still have the notes. So the rules were you had to do things for the person you drew. And then at the end, you had to write a letter to them about what you love about them. And so they did that. They wrote, and it was just so sweet because, you know, you'd take up somebody's shoes and you'd go, I might be your secret Santa. You know, you take their shoes upstairs, or, you know, you might put a note in this or something on their pillow. We tried to throw everybody off on who we had. But the greatest thing was Blaine had Grace, Grace had Blaine, and the notes they wrote to each other, like I said, I still have them, and they're just super sweet about how they loved. And they were little at the time. Okay, let's see here. Home movies. Okay, girls, I'm telling you, another plug. These home movies, these are showstoppers. And I was looking at these home movies the other day by myself at home, and I took a little clip and I sent it to all three of my kids of something that Gracie was doing or something that was funny. They were playing in a mud pile, and literally Gracie's like three and she's dancing around. And these are showstoppers. My kids put these on all the time. And if you're taking movies with your phone videos, somehow get them on discs. This guy, I don't know, I'll find out and tell you, but these are awesome. He took them, and those are just awesome. And then my kids all love to do it. Lock them outside on a cold day if they're bickering, and then you sit at the kitchen table and, you know, have a warm cup of coffee or something. I made my kids, they bickered all the way to church one day, and I said, y'all need to kiss on the lips for a full minute when we got to church, because we're not going in until y'all's relationship's restored. And they stood outside the car, and their friends would walk by and go, are y'all coming? And I'm like, no, they've got to kiss on the lips for a full minute. So there's fun ways. Make them sit on the couch with their legs touching and hold hands. And if they bicker at all, then just restart the timer. Say, oh gosh, now you got 20 minutes. You did just have 10. So before, because if you send them to their opposite rooms, you're just teaching them that, you know, we're not going to work this out. I'm just going to make y'all go to different rooms. So let's see. We opened one gift at a time. We've done that since my kids were little bitty. When you open the gift from somebody, you have to tell what you love about the giver. Yes, we don't finish and have breakfast until about 1:30 or 2, but we do it every time. My kids wouldn't have it any other way. They love it. Canton. Blaine loved to go to Canton, and so there were many times that he'd find out that Alex Wagner and I were going to Canton, and he'd go, Mom, can I go? So I'd go, oh, you don't feel good? And he'd go, no. So when we drop Gracie off at school, I'd go, well, I better take Blaine home. He doesn't feel good. Then he'd go to Canton with us. And it was like, and we just called it an I am sick of school day. And so we just had those days, and I can remember many times him pushing Cade around in the little camp, around in the little thing. You can ask Alex. We did those many days where we would go to Canton on Fridays and have fun. Let's see. Returning from camp or when they go from school, teach your kids. Like, we used to make a banner for people, and my kid Blaney would be painting the banner, we missed you, and, you know, all that stuff. And so it's just fun to, you know, welcome somebody home, remind them how much they miss their sister. Oh, well, it's going to be so fun to have, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. You know, talk about that other child when you're home. Let's do something really sweet for that child while they're at school. Why don't we make them a special dessert or make them, you know, you can build in with your words again. Ask your kids sometimes, what makes our family special? What makes us unique? What makes us different? What do you like about our family? Go around the dinner table and say one thing you love about, you know, another person. Tonight might be Grace night. What's one thing we love about Grace? You know, what's one thing you love about the person on your left? What's one thing about, you know, those kind of things. Extracurricular activities, guys, really be mindful of this, the logistics of your home, because if you're too busy, then that becomes that bad pattern becomes a new normal. And so you really, I like how you kind of smear it in one unholy mess. It was like Ann Voskamp said, sometimes you take everything good and you're just smearing it all around instead of really focusing on what's really good. Close the circle. I remember, you know, like I said, we would go to Mesquite sometimes to the train park because I knew we were not going to know anybody out there. So I knew it would just be my kids and we would have to work together. You know, watch a movie. We watched home movies. We would get blankets, and that's, my kids love traditions. Like, we love to watch movies at Christmas. We love to, they are always so anxious, even to this day, to move the coffee table out of the den so that they can put things down and, you know, blankets and, you know, sleeping bags, and we can all just, and we just keep it like that for like 2 or 3 days. We, you know, do funny things like we, one year we had, we, with our video camera, my husband stood in the back and everybody had to, you know, the table was empty. Nobody was in there. And then you had to walk in and dance to your seat. And my husband taped it and my kids loved to see everybody dancing. You know, it was fun. Everybody had to do that. And then just find ways to pray for your kids. Sally loved McDonald's, and so every time I saw the Golden Arches, I would pray for her. And so get something that's a reminder to you to pray for that child. I just think the power of prayer is just really, I mean, it's you just be a mom that prays a lot because it will really guide you. And so that's kind of all I have for y'all. I'm sorry, that was a lot. And I'm sorry about that. But I pray that you got something. Do y'all have any questions?